I'm going to read, and I'd love for you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I'm going to read from verses 11 to 20 as Evan prepares to come this morning and to preach God's word to us. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11 to 20 says this. It says, "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, 'Who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it?' Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, 'Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may have to obey it?' No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart so you may obey it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, and I have set before you life and death. Blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God and listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. The Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob."
Thank you, Nathan. Good morning. My name is Evan, and a very warm welcome to all of you joining us today online. This morning, we continue our series, Love Changes Everything, and specifically looking at a choice that we all have in response to this love, God's love, that changes everything. And I wonder if you've ever stopped to consider just how many choices you make each day. This morning, I've chosen to snooze my alarm. I've chosen what I'd eat for breakfast. As a church, we've chosen to go online in light of the developing COVID situation. But I've never really stopped to reflect on just how many choices I make every single day. And so as we get into it today, I want to start by asking you all a question. We're online, we've got the online chat going, and so I'd love for you to post your responses there. And this is my question for you. If you had to guess, how many choices do you think you make each day? I'm going to give you a minute or two. If you're with friends and family today in your homes or wherever you're tuning in from, feel free to discuss your answers. If you're by yourself, you're more than welcome to still be involved. Post your answers in the online chat, and I'll be back in a minute or two to get us going. Thank you. Some high numbers in there coming through, but again, just your thoughts on how many choices you think you make every day. I'll give you another minute or so. Again, feel free to grab yourself a tea or coffee if you need to at this stage. And then we'll start by discussing your answers. Thanks, Lynn, for your 400 per hour. I can't times that by 24. It'd be helpful if I knew how many that was in a day, but thank you. Oh, there's some great responses there. Thank you for doing that. You can continue to post your thoughts as we go through today. There we've seen everything from one to a million and everything in between. According to Cornell University in the US, on average, we make 230 choices a day about food alone. That's right, 230 choices about what we'll eat. An adult, on average, will make in excess of 30,000 choices every single day. You may choose to believe that or not, but what that means is for the hours that we're awake, we are, on average, making a choice every 2 seconds. I want to thank you for choosing to join us today online. See, choices play an important and defining role in who we are and what we do. And today we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 30, which Nathan just read out to us, and looking at the choice before Israel and why it's still relevant for us today. I've chosen to split the talk down into three parts. Part one, the word is near. Part two, the word is clear. And part three, the choice is yours. Let's choose to pray. Lord, we choose now to focus on you. We ask that you would quieten the distractions around us from wherever we're tuning in from today. We choose to listen to your word. We choose to come before you in humility, wanting to hear from you. We choose to open ourselves to you and to give thanks for your perfect love. Would we know and experience that love today, your love that changes everything? Amen. Marty, if you could just flick to the slide that has part one on it, the word is near, that'd be great. Thank you. So part one, the word is near. Let me just quickly reread verses 11 to 14 from you, from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven and to get it and proclaim it among us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that we have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart, so you may obey it. See, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, Israel, God's chosen nation, are finally on the doorstep of the promised land. Here they are on the eve of entering the land of milk and honey. And Moses gives Israel an important message. The word of God is near to you. It's not too difficult to understand, and it's not beyond your reach. He uses two illustrations in verses 12 and 13 to tell them that the word is not too lofty, nor is it too far, but in fact, in verse 14, is very near to you. It's in your hearts, it's in your minds. And that the idea that the word of God was near to them was key for Israel to understand. And it stood as a stark contrast to the common belief system at the time. See, in those days, the belief amongst the nations was if you believed in higher beings, you know, so-called gods, that those gods held tightly to their secrets. And there you were as a human, that if you wanted any sort of enlightenment from them, you'd have to plead and beg with them in an attempt for them to just maybe give you a drop of their wisdom and knowledge. There you were painfully eking out information from them. And then if you were so lucky that they gave you something, there you were with your fingers crossed, hoping that it would be in a form that you could understand. But see, Moses is telling Israel something completely different. This isn't the case for you. And so with that in mind, how refreshing for them to hear as God's chosen people that they didn't have to tirelessly attempt to glean direction from some distant and unpredictable being, but rather that hearing and understanding from their God who loves them, was at their fingertips, that his words was in their hearts, it was in their minds, it could be understood by them. For us today, whilst the circumstance and situation looks different, I'd argue that the concept of the Word of God being near remains true. What do I mean by that? Well, on a very practical level, the Word of God is what we know as the Bible. You know, we have Bibles readily available to us. That's one of the fortunate things that we have living in a place like Adelaide, Australia. They're even translated into our native tongue, English. We can choose from multiple different translations, choosing the one that most resonates with us. We have endless resources to help us understand the word. Bible studies, audiobooks, podcasts, churches streaming online. If you're a regular here at EBC, this is my shameless plug that if you're not currently in a small group, I want to really encourage you to join one. A great and really practical way to meet with friends on a regular basis, to open up the Word, to study it, and to hear from God. See, for us today, to claim that the Word is not near is to bury our heads in the sand and ignore what is right in front of us. The only barriers stopping us from reading and hearing God's Word are the ones that we put up. The Word is near. It's simply a choice of whether we'll listen. As a church this year, we've been promoting the 5x5x5. 5 minutes a day, five times a week, five different ways to think about reading the Word. And in doing so, we'll read through the New Testament across this year. I last spoke about 2.5 months ago, and I told you then that I was behind. I'm here to report I'm even further behind. But I'm really enjoying the daily discipline of reading God's Word and having a resource that just tells me what to read rather than me wasting time thinking about it. And a few weeks ago, we heard from Mel, Nat and Tim about the experience that they're having and the joy they're finding in choosing to make 5x5x5 part of their daily routine. We heard powerful testimony about how by doing so, they've come to know that God is near. He is with them. But one of the comments really stood out to me, which was, why is it that the one thing that's our greatest benefit is often our greatest struggle? Why is it that the one thing that is our greatest benefit is often our greatest struggle? See, the Bible is right here, yet it's so easy for distractions to get in the way. Regardless of whether we choose to listen to the Word or not, the fact remains for Israel and for us today, the Word of God, is near. And so with that in mind, we'll continue to part two, and Marty, I'll just get you to flick to that, to the Word is clear. Let me just read verse 15 of Deuteronomy 30. I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Moses gives a clear and direct message to Israel in verse 15. Set before you is a choice. And this choice is between A, life and prosperity, or B, death and destruction. This is a binary choice between only two options. There's no alternatives, and there's no ability to compromise or mix and match to your preferred combination. See, the matter before Israel at the time was a simple but significant choice. Choose life or choose death. On the eve of entering the promised land, where God was about to embrace them with a massive warm hug, they're faced with this choice. And the verses we read today aren't isolated, but in fact surrounded by chapter after chapter, detailing the blessings of obedience, but also the consequences of choosing death. Yes, God is good. Yes, He has promised you great blessing and a life of prosperity. But if you choose to turn away, well, the Word is clear. This is a choice between life and death. And the choice you make has consequences. But what about for us today? Can we simply just write this off as something irrelevant in light of Jesus? Or does this choice still hold? Let's have a look. If you've got your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to open to Romans 8, and I'll read verse 13. Verse 13 reads, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live." I'll read it again. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit and put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. Or how about John 10:10? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus, have come to give you life and life to the full. We see over and over again in the New Testament the contrast between life in Jesus and death in the flesh. And so whilst we're no longer concerned about entering the promised land per se, the choice remains. Live according to the Lord our God and live. Or, by the ways of the world, and die. See, on one hand, we have the opportunity to choose life and live, which as verse 16 in Deuteronomy told us, is to love the Lord your God. It's to walk in obedience to him, and it's to keep his commands. This is what it looks like to choose the life in Christ. Or as we heard last week from Aaron and Nathan in Matthew 22, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. And this choice, the choice of life, comes with great blessing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever chooses to believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The word is clear. Live according to the Spirit of God, choosing to love God first and live lives shaped by him and marked by him, and in doing so, experience life to the full, now and for eternity. There's nothing better than for us to place our trust in God's love, his love that changes everything. On the other hand, though, the choice before us is death. Again, Romans 1. And again, Marty, there should be a slide for this. Romans 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And further on in that chapter, verse 32. Although they knew God's righteous decree and that those who did such things deserved death, not only did they continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. I'm stating the obvious here, but these are unpleasant words to read to you, and they can be hard for us to hear. But the word is clear. Romans tells us firsthand that although these people knew God, they chose to not glorify him nor give thanks to him, and as a result, their hearts were hardened. Even though they knew that this attitude would result in death, they chose to continue in their ways and approved of others who did likewise. The word is clear, even when it's unpleasant. And I just want to stop and pause and just make a point right now that if you're listening today and you're wondering, oh man, you've just read that, what does that mean? You know, should I worry for my life? I'm not saying that. I don't think so. We believe in a God who is gracious. We believe in a God who's full of mercy. We believe in a God who wants us to know him. So take comfort and encouragement for that. And if that's something that you want to discuss with us, I'd just encourage you to either hit the live prayer button now, we've got a team on hand that can chat with you, or contact the church during the week, and we'd love to get in touch and speak with you. But what I do want to say is it's verses like these in Romans 1 that provide a helpful but sobering reminder that the choice of life or death is still before us, and that our choice has significant consequences. To recap, the word is near. It's simply a choice of whether we'll listen. The word is clear. This is a choice between life and death. And finally, part three, the choice is yours. What will you choose? That's the question. Life in Christ or something else? As I've prepared today, I've really wrestled with what application to leave you with. But this is what I've landed on, and it's a fairly simple takeaway, but it's something I found very effective in implying in my own choices. And it's this. In our choices, are we putting God first or not? In our choices, are we putting God first or not? So rather than me giving you some laundry list of do's and don'ts, I'd like to give you an opportunity to spend time reflecting on whether your choices reflect that of someone who is choosing life in Christ. You know, what do your choices say about where your trust is? What do your choices say about how you're seeking comfort, wealth, status, self-worth, satisfaction, fulfillment, whatever it might be? Do your choices reflect that of someone who is loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and loving your neighbour as yourself? One way that this has hit me, a couple of weeks ago, it was a Thursday, got a reminder on my phone to give our offering to the church. And so I was working through that. Later on in that day, I was actually walking past my local news agency and I saw a sign: Powerball, $60 million jackpot. And I thought to myself straight away, ooh, wouldn't that be nice? Imagine the life that I could live if I won that jackpot. And you know, as I sat and reflected on that, it was a real contrast where earlier in the day, thinking about our offering and coming up with excuses of why not to give or why to wait another week or, you know, to reduce our level of giving. And yet when I saw this sign that, you know, was giving me an opportunity to have exceeding wealth, I was so quick to jump to what could I do with it? And I had to bring those things before, you know, the idea of, am I putting God first in my choices? You know, Nathan read to us earlier, 2 Corinthians, that we become rich not through a Powerball jackpot, but through the poverty in Christ, in the fact that he went and died on the cross for our sins and rose again to reconcile us back to our loving God. That's choosing life, and that's choosing life to the full. So that's just one way that I've used that. And again, I'd encourage you to think through your choices and how you might apply that. Am I putting God first or not? And as you think through that, I'm going to ask the band to come back up. I wonder what might be holding you back from choosing life in Christ, life to the full, a life where you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. What's in the way between you and the word that is near? Have we stopped listening to the word that is clear? Do you know today with confidence that you've chosen life and life to the full in Christ? As you do that, I want to encourage you to bring your thoughts before God in prayer. Again, if you want someone to pray with today, hit that live prayer button, and we'd love to connect with you and pray with you today. So we're going to sing a final song to give an opportunity for you at home to reflect on this, to reflect on our choices, and to reflect on how we can choose to put God first in all that we do. And I'll leave you with this. The word is near. The question is, are we listening? The word is clear. This is a choice between life and death. And finally, the choice is yours. I'm not here to make that choice for you, but I want to encourage you with what Moses said in verses 19 and 20. Friends, choose life. Choose life so that you may live and love the Lord your God, that you may listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. Amen.